This is Inside the Net with Amber MacArthur, episode 11 for Valentine's Day, February 14th, 2006, GUI. I'm Leo Laporte in Northern California, on the line via Skype from Toronto, Canada. Amber MacArthur, are you having a great Valentine's Day?
You know what? It was really cool this morning, Leo. I went to the AGO and I got to interview Frank Gehry.
You're kidding.
No.
Wow. What was that for?
He is redesigning doing the expansion design for the AGO, the Art Gallery of Ontario. And so he was in town to talk about it. And a week ago, I got invited to this event, just a press event.
Wow.
And then I was the only I went in for Command N, and they let me in.
Awesome.
You know, the event I went to last week was they had a press event exclusively for bloggers and podcasters. And I was the only podcaster there. And I was the only one of them to get an actual scheduled interview with all mainstream media. So I sat down with them for, I think I had 4 minutes, and it was so cool.
That's
so
awesome.
I've had a really good day. Yeah, it was really neat.
So you got that for Command N? That's going to be on Command N?
That's going to be on Monday night, so episode 34.
So tune in. Do you say tune in for a vodcast? Tune in for Command N, Monday night, episode 34, this coming Monday. That's great. Today we're going to talk about GUI. You showed us GUI, right, before?
Yes, I took a look at GUI before. What it is a web-based application. They also have a desktop client that allows you to manage all of your webmail, your email, your contacts, your calendars, all of your news feeds, widgets, and they even have an amazing collection of Flash games as well. So it's more than a lot of the other applications we've looked at, because there's so much combined in one application, and it's pretty cool.
Well, we have on the line with us the man behind GUI, Alex Bard. Now, is it GUI or GAUI?
It's GUI.
Yeah, like GUI. That would be my natural inclination, but I just wanted to make sure on that, too.
Yeah, the name actually came from, in technology, there's something called GUI, which is pronounced GUI.
Oh, yeah, GUI.
Graphical User Interface. And so we named our company after that, because we really focus on creating kind of an emotional, powerful reaction to the application. And so we thought that just made a lot of sense, and it was a fun, playful name.
Yeah, it's really fun.
Now, Amber, you showed this on Call for Help before, so...
Yeah, I showed it a while ago.
We've known about this for a while, but why don't you, Alex, explain what GUI is?
Well, GUI as a company or GUI as a product?
Either one. Why don't you start with the website, and then we can go from there.
Okay, GUI as a company was founded mid-2004, so really a little bit before this whole Web 2.0 thing got a lot of attention and became mainstream. And we founded the company. There's four founders in it. We've all been friends and have worked together for over 10 years now at other internet startups prior to this, all dealing in the communication space. So we've always built communication-like software. In our last companies, we really focused more on business-to-business software, so we would build these applications and sell them to other companies, and then they would deploy them on their site. Well, when we got to our last company, there were a few tenets that we wanted to follow in starting a new company, and one of those was it had to be fun. That was the first and foremost. We wanted to have fun building whatever we decided to build. The second thing is we really wanted to focus on the consumer experience. As I said, in the past, we've built business-to-business applications where ultimately another company was responsible for deploying that application and creating the user experience. And in this case, we wanted to be, first and foremost, directly interacting with consumers. And so we wanted to be a service company, and that's what we built GUI as. We've been live for about, I'd say, a little less than a year now with the product. We launched an early alpha of the product March of 2005, and have really picked up traction for it, I'd say, over the last 6 months or so. And the product itself is, you know, kind of in layman's terms, it's an easy-to-use web-based virtual desktop. And the goal of this virtual desktop is to allow average users to organize their lives, their digital media, and their content, to communicate with their friends and family, and to share some of that content that we're helping them organize.
One thing that's interesting about GUI, too, is that you have both the web-based application as well as a desktop client. So why did you guys decide to do both of these?
You know, it's interesting. We started GUI as a completely web-based application, and part of the reason that we started the company was we felt there was a pretty significant experience gap between web-based and desktop applications, and email was kind of the one that came immediately to mind, right? A lot of people, if they use PCs, they use Outlook-type application. Other people who use Macintosh use desktop-based Macintosh email applications, and those are typically more functional and robust than you would see in a web-based email that's click, wait, and refresh. And so what we did is we wanted to build a lot of that rich functionality into a web client. And so we started GUI as a complete virtual, totally portable, rich user experience environment. The desktop client actually came about because we wanted to initially deploy a really simple email notifier to the desktop so that if you got an email or if you had a new meeting or there was some new alert, we wanted to push that directly to the user on their desktop without having them to be logged into the application. The idea of actually making the desktop client more robust where that functionality was running on your desktop outside of the web browser came from our members. One of our members sent in a comment saying, hey, it'd be really cool if I can have these widgets running right on my desktop, or, you know, if I could play the games right on the desktop without having to log into the web client. So, you know, for us, a lot of our design principle and the way that we evolve the company and the product is really based upon user feedback. And so that was just one of those things that we said, hey, that makes a lot of sense. Why don't we try that out?
Why web-based, though? I mean, it's both an advantage, I guess, and a disadvantage, because if I'm not online, I can't use it, right?
Right. So, I mean, the reason that we started it as a web-based application is because although the disadvantage is if you're not online, you can't really use it, the advantages are that it's portable. So for all of the people who connect when they're, you know, at school, or for all the people who travel a lot and are in portable environments, this is a great way of taking, you know, your content and your digital identity with you. We're actually looking at, in the future, and we've got a roadmap with just so many things on it, and it, as I said, it's really being steered by the users, but we are looking at in the future, because we have this desktop piece of it, allowing you to work inside of GUI offline, and then when you connect, it would synchronize out to the internet. So you kind of get the best of both worlds then. If you have the desktop client installed, you can work offline and synchronize. If you don't have the desktop client installed, you still get the portability of GUI as a whole.
And it seems like you can do a lot of things with GUI, I think, which is different than some of the other web-based products that we've looked at. I mean, you're trying to do webmail, contacts, calendar, RSS, you know, widgets, all, and even games, all in one application. Now, is it possible to do all of those things and do them well?
You know what's interesting? I think that just if you look at the Web 2.0 movement as a whole, there are a lot of companies coming up with cool little mini applications, pieces of you know, how I would identify myself as a user. And, you know, some people refer to it as leaving breadcrumbs of your identity all over the internet.
Right.
You know, for us, we kind of believe that the best way to get a good experience for the average person, you know, not necessarily for the super high-end techie person who's going to bounce around, you know, the 15 or 20 sites that they do on a daily basis, but more for the average person who still wants to be able to take advantage of that functionality, but in a really easy-to-use environment, that's who I think GUI is going to appeal to. And our goal is, you know, Amber, in many cases, just to answer your question, in a lot of cases, we build the functionality where we think the functionality is lacking, but in other cases, will integrate to existing great systems. So, for example, you know, we have these widgets, and we're actually going to rebrand the widgets minis in the next couple of days, and we're relaunching them. They're going to be much more functional and robust. But in the case of these minis, they actually go out and connect to other great Web 2.0 applications, you know, Delicious for bookmarking and Flickr for photo sharing and YouTube for video sharing. So in many cases, we're not redesigning the wheels, so to speak, but we're integrating to these other great applications, but presenting it in one unified environment to the user.
So, and the percentage for you is you become kind of home base for all of this stuff. Everybody uses you every day.
Right, exactly. That's the goal.
What about competing with, you know, Gmail or something out there? I know you guys offer 2 gigs of email storage. Do you see them as, you know, direct competition to GUI?
You know, it's interesting. I think that, you know, part of what they do is definitely competitive as far as providing a web-based email application. I think, you know, where we're different is that we have a very different principle than Google does on design. For us, you know, we really want to be different by design. We look at everything through an Apple filter and really look at creating an emotional interaction interface for the user. Gmail does very elegant design, but they believe in simplicity. And so I think there's probably...
Some would say they believe in ugly.
Yeah. You know what? I try to be nice and say simplicity, but I'm with you. You know, I'm totally from the Steve Jobs design of school of design. So
you want a lickable interface.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, I've never heard it that way, but I like that. I'm going to use that.
I think actually you'll have to give Steve credit because I think that's what he called Aqua at first was a lickable
Damn
interface.
Damn it.
Sorry.
Well, we can do that. But yeah, I mean, I think we are somewhat competitive in certain areas. But one of the things for GUI and what we envision doing is actually integrating existing applications that you use. So part of our system, we've made it really easy to import your contacts and email from Gmail, from Yahoo, from Hotmail, and other systems, and actually you can do multiple at once. So, you know, we can become an aggregated view that gives you a consistent experience across multiple email addresses. And, you know, that's not something that I see Google going into or allowing, you know, the average person to do. So I do think that, you know, we are competitive, but we are also very differentiated.
You know, it's interesting. Do you use this, Amber? Or I know you showed.
Yeah, I have used it. I've played around with it quite a bit. I mean, I haven't totally transferred everything to GUI, but I have had a chance to play around with it. I mean, I love the interface. I just don't know personally if I'm ready to, you know, leave the comfort of some of the applications that I'm using right now to jump to GUI. But, you know, the more and more I look at it and the more I'm sure it evolves, the more sense it might make. Because, you know, right now I'm using a bunch of different applications. I'm using Apple Mail, Protopage, you know, all these different services. And it is all over the place, and it's kind of a bit of a mess, to be honest with you.
Is that the kind of the what is your challenge, Alex? Obviously, Google's one, or maybe even Yahoo Mail, but the other would be desktop applications. Yes,
right. In certain degrees, I would say yes. You know, for us, we really meant for this to be, at least when we initially started the company and the current focus, to be more of a consumer app. So I wouldn't think that we're competing with business applications like an Outlook, for example.
Right.
Much more consumer-focused. But, you know, for us, the biggest challenge is kind of a little bit of what Amber referred to, and that is, you know, some people are committed to applications that they use, and they're far down the road. And, you know, we just ask that you try out our application, try to import one of the things that you may use, and see if you have a better experience. And, you know, the people who come over to us through that, I think, will have members for life. The other target for us, though, is young users. And again, if you look at the interface and the way that it's designed, it's much more lickable. You know, Leo, as you said, and we're really getting a lot of young users coming onto this thing that are maybe using email for the first time, that are interacting with our widgets and stuff like that. And
so maybe your competition is more MySpace than the others.
Well, yes and no. I mean, you know, MySpace is really just personal pages and
right.
and people communicating through that. At least that's, you know, what they look like now. Who knows what those guys will evolve to.
Right.
But I think that this is a compliment to MySpace.
Right.
Yeah, it could be the audience of MySpace and how they manage their email and their contacts and that other part. Not so much about, you know, sharing things, but about having their private life in GUI. Seems
right.
like it would make more sense like that.
And your business model is advertising-based? How are you going to... How are you going to make that monetize it?
Do we have to monetize?
No. Please don't.
No.
Please don't. You're not publicly held. You don't have to make money. It's okay.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sure your investors would like you to, however.
Right. They absolutely would. You're right. The model is, there's a couple of components to it. And I think, you know, what you initially see is advertising. And we try not to overwhelm our members with advertising. So, you know, we put in some ads that, or interstitial ads after you send an email or after you perform a function. That is a piece of our revenue. The other pieces of our business model are transactional revenue. So actually, if you were to use our widgets or minis to use Google search, for example, or to look up the top songs on iTunes and ultimately buy a song through iTunes, or look at Amazon recommendations and ultimately buy something through Amazon, we get a small piece of that transaction, which doesn't affect our members at all, but it's transactional revenue that, as you build critical mass, starts to build up. And the third piece is ultimately we're going to roll out premium services where, you'll be able to buy more storage and no advertising and some other additional functions that'll be really cool. And we think, some percentage of our user base will sign up for that as well.
Now, Alex, could you talk a little bit just for some people who want to sign up for GUI in terms of what technical requirements you need on your end? Because I know it runs on Flash. I think you recommend that people have the latest version of Flash, have Flash 8. So could you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's pretty much basically it. I mean, GUI is really developed for people who have higher speed connectivity. I mean, you can use it on a dial-up. I wouldn't really recommend it because of, some of the rich UI features. It does require more bandwidth. So I'd say a higher speed connection, and then it works on any operating system as long as you have Flash 7 installed. It currently does require at least Flash 7, although we are recommending that people use the Flash 8 version because that enables us to do some more really cool things inside of the application.
And what do you find people are using the most out of all the different applications within GUI in terms of mail or calendar or contacts?
I think right now the biggest component or the most widely used component inside of GUI is the mail component. When we originally launched the company, that's what we were focused on, and we've kind of started to expand the vision for the company, as I said, really based on our user feedback. We're going to be rolling out in the next 30 days some really cool functionality that users have been asking for, including virtual storage. So you'll actually be able to store files virtually on GUI and then access them from anywhere and really effectively share them with friends and family. That's a really big key component for us coming up. And the second one is integrated instant messaging. So we're going to be rolling out a web-based integrated instant messaging platform where you can just log into GUI and put in your Yahoo ID or your Gtalk ID or your AOL ID, and all of a sudden have all of those contacts integrated in one web-based IM that you don't need to install and be able to communicate with all those people. And I think that we're going to really see a pickup for that inside of our client.
You ask in the sign-up for a birth date, do you collect demographic information? And if so, what ages are using it?
We do collect demographic information. Really, the reason that we ask for that is if you happen to forget your password, there's three things that we need in order to be able to restore your password and give you back access to the mailbox. So really, the data that we're collecting right now is really for maintaining your own privacy. But what we've seen from a user perspective is that the majority of our users are anywhere from between 15 to 35.
So it's younger, but not that young.
Right. Right. I mean, we're seeing a lot of young professionals, use it. The 20 to 30 age group definitely is a large population of our members. But, as well, we're seeing, as I said, the first-time users, the people who are just coming and starting to use email, the high school and college students. So, yeah, I'd say it's right between those two demographics. And it's funny, it's hard to sometimes categorize what specific age demographic you're most relevant to. I think, it's, again, kind of pulling on Steve Jobs' mentality. It's more of a psychographic. You can connect with people if you can give them a powerful, simple, elegant, emotional kind of application to use that they can affiliate with themselves as a lifestyle brand. And ultimately, that's what we want to get to. We want the 80-year-old person using us as much as the 13-year-old person.
Your Mac interface, it is a very Mac-ish interface. You've kind of got a dock. You've got bouncing icons and so forth. Is that to make it appealing to any particular group, or is it just something you liked?
We're very focused around user design. And so everything that we do, and even the continued evolution of the client, you'll see us really simplifying the interface even further. And I think, a lot of that, as I said, we look at our application through a Mac filter, and I think those guys have done a phenomenal job at UI design and at building cool hardware and software that that people really feel connected to. And that's our goal as well. And that's why, you know, you'll see a lot of the similarities and the bubbles and the icons and some of the transitions are very Mac-like.
Although we should point out that you do have a desktop client for Windows. In fact, I don't think you have one for Mac yet, do you?
We don't currently yet, but we will be launching that shortly.
One other thing that you guys have that we haven't really touched on is that, you know, you have a lot of these applications to be able to, mini applications to be able to manage your mail and contacts, but you also have quite a few Flash games. I know when I was testing GUI out at first, I got kind of wrapped up in some of the games. Where do you get all these great games?
Well, you know, this it kind of comes back to what I said earlier, where some things we build and other things we just leverage from the Web 2.0 community as a whole. And all of the Flash games that we currently have are games that are authored by other people that we've just been given access to and we promote through our site. So, you know, we don't personally develop games. We just go out and find the games that we think make the most sense for our demographic, and we will talk to the author of the game, or if it's a publicly shared game, and we'll upload it into GUI and expose our member base to it.
Alex, one thing I noticed about GUI when I started playing around with it is that I've played with a lot of these sort of Web 2.0 applications that have come out, and most of them are in beta. They don't work very well. They're very simplistic. And when I first tried out GUI, it really seemed to have everything, and there weren't a lot of problems. So, you know, it's just amazing that you guys have built something so quickly and put it together, and it seems, I don't want to say that it's flawless, but, you know, it seems like it would be a big company who've put this together. So how many people are actually on the GUI team working on this?
Well, we're under 10 people.
Wow.
Yeah. We, you know, I think that, Amber, I think it's really a testament to the types of people that we have in the company. I mean, as I said, we've worked together for a really long time, and we've worked at companies in the past that were 300-400 person companies with large engineering departments. And, you know, a lot of the discipline that we picked up from working in those types of environments and technologies that we've worked with in the past are really what we've leveraged, recycled, and applied here. So, I mean, I think the guys that we have building this stuff are absolutely phenomenal. I mean, I take them over anybody else. And I think where we succeed also is that we're really not technology bigoted at all. Although the front end is in Flash, you know, we use Ajax and open source technologies on the back end, and we're really fortunate in that we leverage the best of what's out there to build this application.
And if someone were to go and take all of their information and transfer it over and use GUI, you know, how can they trust that you guys will be around for a while?
Good question.
That is a good question. Well, I mean, I think that that's probably something that every young company faces, right, is the, you know, how long will you be around? You know, I really believe that this is a company that's got legs on its own and an application that has a business model that can support its growth. And, you know, you do see a lot of Web 2.0 companies that are neat functionality, but you just don't see how do they ultimately monetize. And Leo, it comes back to your question that we were kind of laughing about. You know, we have investment inside of the company from, you know, really powerful investors who are very excited about what we're doing and who want to see us be successful. We've got a lot of outside interest in venture capitalists that we've talked to that additionally want to put more money into the company when we're ready. And I think ultimately it's going to come down to, can we execute and can we deliver on what the customer needs are? And I think we're doing a good job now. I think we'll continue to do that. It's probably a little bit of a leap of faith right now, but, you know, that's the case with any new thing that comes out.
And what's in store for you guys in terms of the future and how it will kind of grow? Can you give us any sort of insight?
When do you add the office suite? I want to see office suite written in Flash.
That's a good idea.
You know, it's so funny that you actually say that, and I'm kind of laughing about it, but I think the first technology conference that we went to, first Web 2.0, let's call it technology conference, was thrown by Mike Arrington at TechCrunch, and I think he's a great guy who's really got a...
And he loves you, by the way. He loves GUI.
Yeah, he's got a really good grasp of, you know, what's going on in the space. And we went to his party early before, you know, as I said, before this whole Web 2.0 thing really took off. And we did a demo of our technologies, and a lot of people came up to us after and said, okay, so when do we get to see Word, Excel, and the Office Suite?
Where's Rightly?
You know, built into this thing. So, you know, it's funny that you say that. I mean, for right now, we're really focused on, as I said, more of the consumer-facing types of applications that our users are asking for. The big two things that come immediately to mind are the integrated instant messaging and the virtual desktop storage. Mm-hmm. You know, I think where we go from there, we've got some ideas as to, you know, where the roadmap goes, and you know, pretty much our imagination is the only limiting factor. But the majority of our decisions that we do make are based on what are our members saying? You know, what are they asking for? And so, you know, as I said, we've got this short-term roadmap. We've got some pie-in-the-sky types of ideas. But, you know, 60 days from now, we'll see what happens after we release this functionality and what becomes the next important thing that we need to build.
And how many members do you have right now?
It's over 100,000.
Wow.
And growing.
Well, yeah. That's a substantial number.
Yep, it's been you know, all primarily through word of mouth. We've really done no marketing behind the product, which is great. And
that's amazing.
I think that, you know, as I said, over the next 30 to 60 days, as we roll out the virtual desktop and the integrated instant messaging, it's really going to kick up in usage, and you know, we're really excited about it.
What have the challenges been? Anything unexpected that you've run up against?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, every company, when it's an entrepreneurial startup and you start and you're bootstrapping it, has challenges. I mean, we originally hosted our applications at a small data center that, you know, overheated one day and the entire data center ate it. So, you know, we had to jump in a car and drive over there and you know, replace servers on the fly. And, you know, everybody's got those kinds of growing pains and everything else. But, you know, overall, it's been a... You know, it's been an amazing journey. It's had its ups and downs. It's a wild roller coaster ride, right? The highs are higher than you can imagine, and the lows are lower because you feel it, and you feel it personally, especially when you're dealing with so many individuals, right? So, I mean, I don't think anything's really caught us off guard or we've been too surprised about. I think overall, I'm really happy about the support from our users and the support from Macromedia. Macromedia has been a great partner to us because we've really, or Adobe, I should say now, but we've really pushed their application to the limits, and they've been really supportive. So,
any advice you would give to anybody who's planning web-based applications or a web-based application website?
You know, I'd say the biggest thing is, I think one of the biggest things lacking in the whole Web 2.0 movement isn't creativity. I think people are being extremely creative in the products that are being built. I do personally see a lack of focus on user experience. I do think that there's a lot of things out there that are very complicated that can't hit the mainstream average user unless there's much more focus on who that person is. So I would say, you know, if you're building a new company and it's got cool functionality and, you know, maybe it's filling a gap, really pay attention to the user experience, because that's ultimately what will allow you or enable you to build a real company.
It's even more of an issue, really, in web-based applications and desktop applications, because you've got little weights and so forth, and it becomes very critical. Even a slight problem becomes much more important on a web page.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And so for anyone who wants to sign up for GUI, all you have to do is go to GUI.com?
That's it. www.GUI.com, G-O-O-W-Y. I know we have to spell it sometimes, but yeah, just go there and sign up for a free account and test drive it, and you know, we'd love to know what everybody thinks.
And as usual, during the interview, I actually signed up. I'm going to stop doing this. But it was very easy. It's painless, and it's pretty cool. You know, you get some really neat functionality right off the bat. I could see my kids getting into that, you know, because they play a lot of online games. They have web-based mail. This is the kind of thing you'd think the younger people under 25, would really understand and immediately gravitate towards. And older people like me might have this, you know, hesitancy. Well, what about my Outlook? You know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Right.
But it's a beautiful design. You guys have done
it's
a great
gorgeous,
job.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is kind
Thank
of.
You guys.
We've used it as an example on the show, on the TV show, of how to do good web design.
Yeah,
that's
those nice big chunky buttons.
We love big buttons.
Yep, we really appreciate that. As I said, you know, it's going to be a lot better than even what you see today. I mean, we right now are focusing not only that new functionality that I talked about, but also just making it simple and even cleaner than it is today. I'm just such a believer in that.
All right, thanks so much.
Yeah, you bet. It was great. I really appreciate
Thank
you guys'
Thank you, Alex.
Time.
Yeah, and all the best with GUI. GOOWY.com. Absolutely free to sign up.
Thanks, guys.
So there you have the GUI lowdown. You know, I'm wondering if they should have spelled it something differently, because that's hard to remember. G-O-O-W-Y.
Yeah, I know. It's a little bit tough at first. I think for anyone, you know, who has been into any type of interface design, you would want to spell it much differently. Yeah. So, it's a little hard to remember, but it is a sticky name. I mean, you know, GUI, it's just fun and...
Literally.
Sticky. Yes.
Sticky and licky. So, the whole thing is online, but explain to me why you have a desktop. Have you used the desktop program? I don't understand why they have a desktop program. Is it the same experience in the desktop program?
It seems like it's fairly similar with the desktop program. I haven't played around with it in a while, but as far as a newbie signing up, I would recommend you just use the web-based application.
It's almost just as fast. It's both running in Flash, so...
Yeah, and I think a lot of people are getting used to using some of these web-based applications, so it's not a stretch to not have this, available on your desktop and, a different client.
Right. Well, we'll look for the Frank Geary interview. That's coming up on Commandin, the great architect and designer, on episode 34.
Commandin is at very exciting.
Commandin.tv. And, of course, watch for Amber and me on Call for Help on Canada and Australia and the Philippines, not in the U.S., unless you have a good BitTorrent client. And if that weren't enough to make Americans feel bad, you can see Amber on Canadian TV on Discovery Canada, right? When's that coming up?
Yeah, it should be out. I think it's a week from Monday, so that would be the 27th.
What are you doing?
I am going to an award show in Los Angeles. I don't know if you're familiar with the Academy Awards. Has their science
I've heard of
technical
them, yes.
merit awards?
Oh, yeah, that's the award that during the main show they run through those. They go and
they
by the
run
way,
through those.
A few people got awards, and here's a short video.
Yes, but it turns out they have also their big award show, and there's a red carpet and all of that. And so I'm going down there with Discovery to host on the red carpet with a guy from Kids in the Hall, Dave Foley. For the
you're kidding. You're working with Dave Foley?
I am.
Oh, that's it.
I know.
That's
He's the it. Host. I'm his co-host. So.
Oh, man. You're never going to talk to me again.
Oh, no, Leo, you're the best.
Dave Foley, wow. Would you get his autograph for me? I love him.
Yeah, definitely will. So he's going to be the host. I'm going to be walking around and talking to people about, what gadgets they have on them and talk to a bunch of the different nominees. So I'm really excited about that.
Oh,
I'll give
great.
You an update next week.
And Mac Break, and another episode, I think, has just come out or is coming out any minute now. And we have a couple more in the can, so watch for that, too, at MacBreak.com. Our thanks to America Online and the great folks at AOL Radio who broadcast this podcast on their podcast channel and also provide us with the bandwidth so we can come to you free each and every week, each and every Tuesday. You notice how I cleverly got the podcast out last week while I was in Mexico.
I know. I was amazed. It was great. That was a good one with the Libsyn guys.
Oh, it was fun. It was really fun. And, I was amazed because I was shipboard, but I got decent internet access. I waited till everybody went ashore. And I got pretty decent internet access. It was at least good enough so that I could post it and update the feed and all that stuff.
I was surprised to see it posted. It was like a mysterious post.
Oh, ye of little faith. That we have the technology. We'll talk again next. I'll be in Canada, so we'll do this from Toronto next week.
All right, sounds
thank
good.
Thank you, Amber. Happy Valentine's Day to you.
Thank you.
That's it for Inside the Net. We'll see you next time.